turning your Bibles tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. I want to begin reading at verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to teach us from your word tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to come back to these verses in 2 Chronicles 19, and particularly the 7th verse, and consider something that is very critical in this hour in which we are living. It would seem from these verses that Jehoshaphat had a two-part plan concerning the people of Judah. The first part of the plan, as we see in verse 4, was that he was going to go out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and he brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And then in the second part of his plan, was to, as we see in verse 5, set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. Jehoshaphat was one man. And so he had to do what you are taught to do in business, and that is you multiply yourself through people. And so Jehoshaphat set these judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah. Beginning in verse 6, he gives instructions to these judges. He tells them to take heed what ye do. We talked about these words Sunday night as they relate to Jehoshaphat personally. There is a message. Indeed, these words are a charge to these judges. And the seriousness of this charge, take heed what ye do, is in Jehoshaphat's very next words. "For ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment." Jehoshaphat is telling these judges what Paul will write about nearly 1,000 years later in Romans chapter 13. For he will write that the powers that be are ordained of God, and that those powers, those rulers, are the ministers of God. That's what Jehoshaphat is telling these judges. And I don't want to get off course from what we want to talk about tonight, but I would just say that God has not changed his mind about what government is to be. Jehoshaphat's charge to these judges is God's charge to them. And it is his charge, albeit a charge that it is ignored by and large, but it is his charge to government today. It is his charge to judges today. "For ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment." Our Supreme Court continues to ignore this truth, as we saw again on Monday. The 1964 Civil Rights Act prohibits workplace discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And what that law meant by sex was male or female. On Monday, the court redefined the word sex in federal employment law to include sexual orientation and gender identity. In his dissent, Justice Samuel Alito, and he was joined by Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I would just say he was forsaken by Justice Neil Gorsuch and Justice John Roberts, who, as far as I'm concerned, continues to sink deeper and deeper into disgrace. But Justice Alito said in his dissent, quote, "There is only one word for what the court has done today. Legislation. The court tries to convince readers that it is merely enforcing the terms of the statute. But that is preposterous. Even as understood today, the concept of discrimination because of sex is different from discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity. And in any event, our duty is to interpret statutory terms." I'm so glad this man's on the court. "In any event, our duty is to interpret statutory terms to mean what they conveyed to reasonable people at the time they were written." And then Justice Alito gives a warning, and we better perk our ears up and listen. He says, "The court's brusque refusal to consider the consequences of its reasoning is irresponsible. The position that the court now adopts will threaten freedom of religion, freedom of speech, personal privacy," remember HB 2 and the fight against it, "and safety. No one should think that the court's decision represents an unalloyed or positive or unadulterated victory for individual liberty." The Supreme Court has forsaken what the Lord charges judges. The Spirit of God has put these words in the book. He's preserved them in His Word for judges today. "Take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment." So in the light of that, Jehoshaphat begins verse 7 by telling them, wherefore now let, that word implies a surrendering of the will for these judges, to surrender their will to the will of God. "Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do." And then he tells them that there are three things that are not found with the Lord. You look there in verse 7, about midway. "For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." And what he is telling these judges is those three things are not to be found in you. And there's one of these that we want to focus our attention on tonight. And that is respect of persons. What is respect of persons? Respect of persons is partiality. It's partiality toward one person over another. It's regarding and valuing one person over another. We probably could simplify the definition a little further by saying respect to persons is prejudice. It's bias and discrimination and hatred and intolerance directed against a person or a group of people. For the purpose of our study tonight, Respect to persons is another way of defining racism. Racism is simply respect to persons. And we won't look at this subject tonight. We can't get through it all tonight. And as the Lord leads, we'll have another message about it. But we want to look at it from two perspectives. How it relates to God and how it relates to man. Jehoshaphat gives us both perspectives here. First of all, he tells us how this subject of respect of persons relates to God. He says here in verse 7, and it's very important for us to see this and to have a grasp of it in our minds. He says, there is no respect of persons with the Lord our God. There is no respect of persons with the Lord our God. That is a truth that we find all through this book. 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14 says, neither doth God respect any person. Neither doth God respect any person. We just read here in verse 19 that there is no respect of persons with the Lord our God. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. We're going to just have to hit these. Can't hit all of them. Some of them I'll read to you and some of them we'll look up. But look at Romans chapter 2. And Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. There's no respect of persons with God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul admonishes those who are masters after the flesh, and he reminds them that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. In Colossians 3 and verse 25, Paul says concerning the Lord, there is no respect of persons. Look at James chapter 3, if you will. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James is talking about the wisdom that is from above. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24 tells us that Christ is the wisdom of God. And so the wisdom that is from above is the Lord Jesus Christ. And among his characteristics that James tells us about in this verse, this one, notice there toward the end, he is without partiality. He's without partiality. And so God's Word tells us that He is not a respecter of persons. And His actions tell us that He is not a respecter of persons. God is not a racist. We read in Acts 17 and verse 24 that God made the world. And verse 25 says that God giveth to all, not to some, not to this race or that race. No, God giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Those words, one blood, teach us that all men are related by blood from Adam. Whether they are white or black or yellow or red or brown, Jew or Gentile. And so we are all equally sinful. We're all equally dead in trespasses and sins, and we are all equally under the judgment of God, the sentence of death. Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Have you noticed that nobody wants to talk about that equality? Listen for it on the news, and you'll be listening a long time. Men want to talk about equal incomes and equal outcomes. But what about this equality? That we're all equally sinful and equally dead and equally in need of a Savior. And to meet that need, the only need that we really have in the light of eternity, we read in the most familiar verse in all of the Word of God, John 3:16, about the God who is not a respecter of persons. For God so loved the world. And the world is not this planet, or the plants, or the flowers, or the animals. And listen, God loves it. God loves the plants and the flowers and the animals. But that's not what the word world means. The word world means the whole human family. The whole mass of mankind. The all that we read about in Romans 3:23. The all that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The all that we just mentioned in Romans 5 and verse 12. The all upon whom death has passed, for that all have sinned. That is the world that God so loved, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's one of the most wonderful words in the Word of God. That word is another way of expressing the truth that there is no respect of persons with God. Because whosoever is another word for all. For all. By Him, all that believe are justified from all things from which He could not be justified by the law of Moses. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This world that He so loved. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 says that He died for all. He died for all. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 John 2 and verse 2 says that He, the Lord Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, He did not segregate Himself off. We read in Hebrews 10:5, a body hast thou prepared me. A body just like we have. He was made in the likeness of men. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. God is not a respecter of persons. We see that all through the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 2, the Lord called Levi to follow Him. And we read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 15 that as Jesus sat at meat in His house, Levi's house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus. He was not a respecter of persons. It said, now, you publicans, he might have said you Democrats might have to sit in another room, but you publicans and sinners, y'all don't have to sit over there in another room. Come sit at the table with me. For there were many, and they followed him. In Luke 15, we read, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He was no respecter of persons. And the testimony of the Lord Jesus was so consistent that when the Herodians came to him, in Matthew chapter 22, they said, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man. And then they tell us what they meant by neither carest thou for any man. They said, for thou regardest not the person of men. What are they saying? We know. We know that you are not a respecter of persons. Turn back, if you will, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and let's read beginning at verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now, look at verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why didn't the Jews have any dealings with the Samaritans? Because they were respecters of persons. The Jews were prejudiced and biased and antagonistic toward and discriminated against the Samaritans. And if you want to see the proof of that, you don't have to go any further than the verse 27 of this chapter. Remember what we read in verse 8, that the Lord's disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. They were gone when the Lord Jesus began to talk to this Samaritan woman, when he began to witness to her. And so look at what we read in verse 27. The Lord has just told her in verse 26, I am. She's just said, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. And when he's come, he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am. I'm the I am. And so this is when the disciples come up. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he was the I am. Did they marvel at the message that they heard the Lord speaking? No. What did they marvel at? That he talked with the woman. Why did the disciples marvel that the Lord Jesus talked with the woman? Because they thought that the Lord was altogether such an one as themselves. That he believed as they believed. That he believed as she believed. That the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And I want you to think about who we're talking about here. The disciples of the Lord Jesus. There's some very big names in that group. Peter and James and John. You don't think Christians can be respecters of persons? Oh, yes, they can. There's three big names with hard hearts in that regard. And all the rest of them as well were respecters of persons. They were prejudiced and biased and intolerant when it came to the Samaritans. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, was not. Was not. Notice what he said to this Samaritan woman in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." There's no strings on that. It didn't matter that she was a Samaritan. He said, "If you just ask of me, I'll give you living water." Look at verse 13. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever," there's our word again, "whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, Jew or Samaritan, rich or poor, bond or free. There is no respect of persons with God. The Scriptures hath concluded all under sin. You drink of this water, you'll thirst again." But then look at verse 14. "But whosoever," there's our word, the word that when you see it, you can think there is no respect of persons with God. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." There is no respect of persons with God. The Lord Jesus lived His Word. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," and whosoever includes the Samaritans, with whom the Jews have no dealings, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And this woman got saved. And she was not the only Samaritan that came to know the Lord. Look at verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word." There is no respect of persons with God. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. All through His earthly ministry, we see the Lord Jesus, and we see that He was not a respecter of persons. We see it in His death. He wasn't on a special place on Golgotha's hill off by himself. He was numbered with the transgressors. Numbered with the ones for whose transgressions He was wounded. And in His death, He made His grave with the wicked. Folks, there is no respect of persons with the Lord our God. And that truth is at the heart of the gospel. For whosoever... And every time we read that word, what should come to our mind is Romans 2:11. "For there is no respect to persons with God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Among the last words of this book are these. They're found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Turn there if you will. Revelation chapter 22. And verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him that heareth say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst say, 'Come.'" Now, who is him? Who is him referring to? Well, we just need to keep reading. And let him that heareth say come, and let him that is athirst say come, and whosoever will. That's who him is. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water that the Lord Jesus told the Samaritan woman about. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Have you drank of that water? Have you drank of that living water? Or are you still hewing out cisterns for yourself? Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Tonight, if you've never drank of the living water, you need to drink of it. Right where you are tonight, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fountain of living waters, and trust Him as your Savior. If you don't, if you choose to go on in your way, there is one other place where there will be no respect of persons with God. There's no respect of persons with God at the cross of Calvary, because He died for all. And He's able also to save them. And who is them? It's whosoever will. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. There's no respect of persons at the cross. The other place where there is no respect of persons with God is in His judgments. In His judgments. It's true for those who are saved. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says of believers, "For we must all..." We must all, every child of God, "for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There is no respect of persons when it comes to those who are saved. There is no respect of persons with God when it comes to those who are lost. Look back just a few pages at Revelation chapter 19. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and look at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Reading about the great white throne judgment. And notice what John says in verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small." That word refers to those who are young, those who are small in age, and it refers to those who are small in rank. Those who are small in influence. "I saw the dead, small and great." That word refers to those who are elder, those who are great in age. And it refers to persons who are great in rank, and who are great in authority, and who are great in power. And so John says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, small and great." There is no respect of persons with God. And Revelation 20 and verse 15 says, "And whosoever," whosoever, there is no respect of persons with God, "and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There is no respect of persons with God. Tonight, if you're lost, you need to lay down your rebellion. You need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ from your sin and trust Him as your Savior. If we know Him, then we need to surrender our lives to Him and live for Him, that we might not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would take your word tonight and use it in our hearts. We thank you that you are not a respecter of persons. We thank you that that is right square in the heart of the gospel message. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, that's a wonderful message. But you're also not a respecter of persons when it comes to judgment. Impress that upon those who may be lost tonight. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Impress upon the hearts of your people that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.